hope you're doing good this morning. If we hadn't had a chance to meet just yet, my name is Pastor Ryan, and I would love to get the opportunity to do just that. A few weeks ago, we started a new series called Bulletproof Soul, and I don't know about you, but I just love that name, and really excited about what God is doing in this series. And really, here's what it is, if this is your first time here or first time in a long time. So we've been walking verse by verse through this amazing book in the Bible, the book of Philippians. Now, maybe you don't know this, but the Bible is not just one book. It's one book made up of 66 different books, and Philippians is one of those books in the New Testament. So we've been walking through verse by verse. Now, I want to remind you that maybe you go back to your college days or your high school days or middle school days, or maybe you're there right now and you remember what a book was like, right? It took you a whole semester to get through it. The great thing about this book is it's only 4 chapters long, and not just that, it will take you about a few minutes to read each chapter. So this is a lot easier summer reading, if you would, than maybe you're used to. And so I want to give you a challenge. I've had this down to say the first 2 weeks, just haven't got to it because of time. But I want to give you a challenge today, and that's this: for you to read through the book of Philippians on your own. For you to do that, and for some of you that may be the very first time that you've read through an entire book in the Bible, and this would be an amazing place to start. So that's my challenge to each and every single person. Well, Pastor Ryan, I've read that book like a million times. Well, let's do a million and one for you. And so let's read through it with a pair of fresh eyes. It's kind of a theme that's developing today, and I think that'll be a really good thing for you. And here's really just the context that you need to know if this is your first time or you're not familiar with Philippians. A couple of things. Number one, Philippians, this book is written by someone named the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he's big time when it comes to the Christian faith, wrote a lot of the New Testament as we know it. And the Apostle Paul is writing this book, and really it's not a book, it's more a letter to a church in the city of Philippi, hence the name Philippians. The Apostle Paul writing this letter to the church there in Philippi, the Philippian church. And he has one big mission and one big idea and big thought that he wants to get across all the way from the beginning of chapter 1 through the end of chapter 4. And here it is, that God has given every single Christ follower in the room a bulletproof vest for your soul. That's the idea. That's everything in a nutshell. And I'm going to give you the ending right here in the beginning stages. Well, what's that bulletproof vest for the soul? I'll tell you right now. It's joy in the Lord. Well, it's got to be more complicated than that. No, it's not. It's joy in the Lord. And what you can see behind me is that fleshed out. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. And so when things are good, you can be good in your relationship with Jesus. But also when things are bad, you can still be good in your relationship with Jesus. That your spiritual journey is not high highs and low lows, but it's steady, it's secure. Well, how can it be that way? Because your joy is wrapped around Jesus and no one else. And Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to get that in your heart and your mind. So we're in chapter 1 still. If you've got the Word of God with you, maybe a Bible app, or you've got ink on paper, but Philippians chapter 1, and we ended in verse 11 last week, if you were here. So we start in verse 12 today, Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, and we're going to read all the way through verse 26, not finishing chapter 1, but getting very close. Philippians 1, verses 12 through 26, and here's what God's word has to say to us. Now, I want you to know, Apostle Paul writing here, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard, think about that statement, and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This next verse is one of the most famous verses in Philippians. There's a lot of them. This is one of them. Verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body, talking about on earth. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. This church is not about sharing opinions. We're about preaching the word of God, because we know there's not power in my words. There's power in your word. And so I pray the same prayer I pray every single week before I speak, whether here or someone or somewhere else. I pray, number one, that people would leave today not impressed by me, but with your word impressed upon their hearts. And I pray, secondly, the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. That I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, just Jesus, because he is enough. And so I pray that today, that you, Jesus, would be exalted and lifted up, that our eyes would interlock with your eyes, and that you would change us from the inside out. Speak because of me and in spite of me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope y'all ready today. I'm ready to bring some fire. I've got 3 points to give you. These are not personal opinions. These are from the word of God. And so I'd encourage you to take notes in church. Well, I've never done that before. What a great day to start. Be a great day for you. Number one, the first thing we see in the text, use now what might not be available later. Use now what might not be available later. Well, where did you get that from? Verse 13. It's right there. Verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. It's amazing, amazing. And to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You've got to see the weight here. Paul, the Apostle Paul, instead of complaining about the mess that he was in, and he was in a mess, instead of complaining about it, he focuses on what can be accomplished for Jesus in the mess. That is an amazing, amazing attitude, an amazing perspective, not his, God's. Not focused on getting out of the mess, which, can we be honest, like, we focus on that. I can't wait till I get out of the mess. But the Apostle Paul's like, I'm in a mess, don't get me wrong, I'm in a mess. But Jesus works in the mess. He's using now what might not be available later. I want you to remember this situation with the Apostle Paul. He is in prison. That's where he's at. And not just that, but the most likely outcome of his prison sentence is execution. So he's essentially on death row as he writes this letter. And remember, it's not because he made some bad choices one weekend in Vegas, okay? It's not because of that. It's because he was preaching Jesus. That's why he's there. So wrongfully accused, should not be there. Things were not good for Paul. But instead of posting on social media about all the problems, I didn't think I'd get much of an amen there. Instead of posting on social media, well, this thing happened and that thing happened and I was trying to do right. I cannot believe that I'm here. Instead of looking for somebody that's got like full body tattoos that can help him prison break. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like instead of that, you can Google it later, okay? But instead of that, he's focused on what God can do in the mess. It's an amazing example for each of us. God works in the mess. He's using now what might not be there later. Even though, and this is going to speak to somebody, even though he's in a place he does not want to be. In the history of humanity, I have never heard of someone being happy going to jail, okay? Paul is not happy that he's in jail. He's happy that while he's in jail, God is working in the jail. That's what he's happy about. I'm not saying that like you get in a wreck and it was your fault and it's going to cost you $1,000. You're like, praise God, this is amazing. No. I'm not saying that. Oh, your marriage is on the rocks and divorce papers could come. Oh, praise Jesus, this is amazing. No. That's not what Paul did and that's not what you should do. What God's word is teaching us is that we can see Jesus do work in the mess. That's what he does. It's an amazing attitude that he has. Even while I'm here, a place I don't want to be, people are taking notice of Jesus in me. I don't have to wait till I get back to the synagogue to preach Jesus. I'll preach Jesus right here in this jail cell. I'll do it right here, right now. That's Paul's situation. Got to know that. But we're living thousands of years later, right? So let's take that and let's put it in our context. And I'm going to step on some toes today, okay? So just apologize. Sorry, not sorry, really. But I'm gonna step on some toes because we got to relate this to our world 2018. Instead of complaining about your job, understand that God wants to use you there to show people Jesus. We talk to the students for a second. Instead of being mad about the summer school that you're in or the summer reading that you have to do, embrace the moment that you're in training for God's calling upon your life. Instead of having this mindset that I cannot wait until I get out of this, that I can't wait for God to work in this. Instead of waiting for some burning bush moment and then I'll be on fire for God, pun intended. Instead of waiting for that, know that right now God wants you to set you ablaze for him. Use now what might not be available later. Here's the truth, and I believe this could be a word for somebody, okay? Lots of times I'll share prophetic words during my preaching, and I miss it. So I want you to know that. Just like you do, I miss it too. So that I could be wrong here, but I just felt like it was for somebody. And somebody need to hear the truth. That sometimes there's an expiration date on the current opportunity that you have. That could be for somebody today. Your context. Sometimes there's an expiration date on the current opportunity that's before you. You gotta seize the moment. Put it to you this way, you better make sure you don't miss your moment. Number two, spend some more time on this one. Wear the vest. Wear the vest. We see this in verse 18. I'm going to read to you the last, well, I'll read you the whole thing, but I want to focus in on the last part. What does it matter, the Apostle Paul says. Remember, he's talking about people preaching Jesus for good reasons and bad reasons. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You know, just hit pause for a second. Hold on. I didn't plan on talking about this part like in my notes. I want to focus on that sentence I didn't get to just yet, but But I just got to hang here for a second. One of my biggest pet peeves in ministry is Christians that bash other Christians and other churches. So I just want to publicly say that I am not the person that needs to be on the receiving end of you saying those kinds of things. You're coming to the wrong place. I'm not a garbage dump, so I don't want that trash put in my life. And so I love what the Apostle Paul says. He says, yeah, that church down the street, those guys, those girls, they're not doing it how I wish they were doing it. In fact, they're trying to do it to make me not look so good, but they're preaching Jesus, so I'm cool with that. What an amazing example. So can we try that as Christ Covenant Church? We may not like what the church down the street, how they do this program, or that they don't believe this thing. We may not like that, oh, it's all about this person. It's built on his personality. We may not like all that kind of stuff. But according to Paul, the right attitude is something like this. Well, you know what? I may not agree, but Jesus is being preached, so I'm cool with that. Let's have that attitude. I wasn't going to preach on that, but let me keep going. Because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. What you notice there, it's an act of his will. I will rejoice. In fact, I just want a little bit of crowd participation today. I want us on the count of three with like all the gusto that you can muster up in church on a Sunday morning. I want you to really give it your all, but I want you to shout with me, I will. I just think it's important. It's an act of the will, not I will rejoice. This is I will, two words, okay? A few letters, you got this. We can do this together. Count of three. One, two, three. I will. Come on, one, two, three.
I will.
I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I've been telling you this entire series, the problem is not that we don't have protection from the blows of life. The problem is that we don't use the protection that God has given us. That's the problem. We're not wearing the bulletproof vest that God has given us. Remember, the bulletproof vest for your soul is joy in the Lord. It's not joy attached to your bank account. It's not joy attached to your 401k. It's not joy attached to your earthly relationships, even the good ones. If you're married or you got kids or grandkids or a really close friend that you know everything about each other, No. Joy tied to Jesus. But too many people, I'm talking to Christians right now in the room and listening later online, too many Christians do not use what God has given them. They don't. So for example, there's some people that walked in the room today and you are a Christ follower. You will go to heaven when you die for eternity, which is an amazing thing. That all is true. But when God was handing out bulletproof vests, you took it, but you've left it in your hand and not put it on. And so today where you're seated, it's beside you if there's an open seat, or it's in your lap or on the floor by your feet. You've got it because God has given it to you, but you have not put it on. And I relate it to this. That is as ridiculous as someone being stranded in the middle of the ocean with a life vest, but it floating 5 feet away. You need it to survive. It's there within your reach, but instead of putting it on, it's kept at arm's length, and there you are trying to fight for your survival by yourself. It doesn't work very good. We get tired. We fail. We miss it. And so we've got to put on the vest. We've got to make a decision. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I've got an object illustration here. You've seen it all service long. I do these from time to time. And so let me describe what I have here. Right here, this is a clean glass of water. It's from the tap, so it's not like purified, but it's good and safe to drink. Here I have pond water, and here I have dirt, because you can't see that. And so clean water, empty glass, pond water. So I'm going to pour go. So with the naked eye, with your natural eyesight, it's a little bit of a challenge to tell which one is safe to drink, right? I mean, maybe you got to squint and be cross-eyed a little bit. I get it. Like you can see the yellow tint maybe from that pond water. And I got it from a pond like a mile down the road. But if you just look at it quickly, it's a little bit difficult to tell which one is safe and which one is not safe. And so if I drank the clean water, it'd be safe. If I drank this water, I'd be sick. It's just how it works. And natural eyesight, our perspective, we could say, our judgment, it's difficult to choose between the two to see which one's good and which one's bad. And let me relate this part to maybe somebody here in the room. Maybe there's somebody that right now you're without a job. Maybe you got laid off, maybe you got fired, maybe it's been many months or just a week or two. But if you're here and you don't have a job, it's going to be really difficult for you to see that as an opportunity for God to move, right? Because you're thinking about, can I get unemployment? You're thinking about, I better get my resume out there. And maybe for you, you've sent out like hundreds of resumes, no hot leads. You've like networked with everybody you could think to network with, and it's not working for you. So your perspective, it's really challenging to see which one to choose. Our perspective, our judgment. But let's be honest. A lot of times when it rains in our lives, it pours. A lot of times. So it's not just that you don't have a job, it's your marriage is on the rocks too. Your kids want nothing to do with you. Your bank account, you thought it looked so much differently 10 years ago when you were planning out things. Or you got in a wreck and then this thing happened. When it rains, it pours. So for a lot of us, we look at the mess of our lives, it's a lot more challenging because we see it for what it is. So that's why I've got this dirt from that same pond. Add that to the pond water. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that this is messy, right? You don't have to have a PhD. Like you can see, this is dirty, this is nasty. If I drank this water, if I drank that, I would for sure get sick. There's amoebas and bacteria in there. I don't even know if there's some duck feces mixed into this because there's a lot of ducks at that pond. That's just the truth. I just don't know. Like, you don't have to have a big degree to understand that. If I drink that, I'm going to get sick. At the very least, I'm going to have diarrhea. Got to be honest, it's not the fun Sunday I planned to have that, but it just is what it is. And so here's what God's not saying, and here's what I'm not saying. God's not saying that when you look at the mess of your life to pretend like it's not a mess. Because some people believe that. Oh, I don't have cancer. Yeah, I saw the doctor report. You do. God's not about that kind of life. Things really aren't bad when you've got this happening. No. Don't pretend like it's not a mess. You can acknowledge the mess. That's okay. But what God wants us to do is figure out a way, his way, to filter through the mess, to find the good in the bad. I have something else here. I have what's called a life straw. I don't know if you've heard of these before. They're pretty amazing invention. Invented a few years back. Life straw, if you use this to drink unclean water, it will really help save your life. In fact, I did some research on this before I bought it. It just cost like $20 on Amazon. But this one straw can give one person up to 1 year of clean drinking water for like $20 or less. And so I don't know what your summer plans is. This is just real talk. But if you're like planning to go in the deep woods somewhere, if you're planning to go like remote hiking, which obviously you're going to be outside of Houston, but if that's your summer plans, you should purchase one of these. It really could save your life. This is the real deal. It filters out 99.999, that's four nines after the decimal, percent bacteria and all that kind of stuff. So what it does is it filters through the dirty water. And so I'm going to try to illustrate this for you. I'm a little bit nervous, but that's okay. I was talking to one of our staff members this last week, and they're like, "You're really going to do that?" Because they know I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. I don't like stuff touching my hands sometimes, not in my body. So you have to do a few sips to like get it going. Okay, so bear with me. It may feel awkward for a second, but I'm going to see if I can filter through this. It actually tastes really good. So here's the point. Here's the idea. That God wants to help you filter through the mess in your life. It's not about what happens to you. It's about what he can filter through you. That's what he wants. So I'm telling you today, wear the vest. Choose joy. Wear the vest. Choose joy tied around Jesus and no one else. Here's the truth that you've got to know. You've got to understand this. That this whole time with the dirt and the pond water and who knows what else that was in it, the entire time there was good water here. There was. Now, from your perspective, and definitely mine, because I'm the one that got it, there was a lot of bad. It was a mess. But with the filter, we could see the good brought out of the bad. And I tell people all the time that one of my favorite characteristics about God is that he is the good maker. He takes horrible, nasty, messed up situations, and he somehow turns them around for good in his glory. He takes the mess and turns it into a miracle. He takes the trial, come on, I'm preaching today, and he'll turn it into a testimony if you'll let him. But you gotta choose joy. Gotta wear the vest. Gotta wear the vest, not what happens to you. It's more about what he filters through you. I'm convinced of this. It's what God does. Number three, last point from the text here. Hope you write this down. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Thank you, Kelly Clarkson. You were thinking it anyway, so I just had to acknowledge it. It was in God's word first, so we're cool. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I want to quote verse 21 again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want to close with this. There were two climbers that were climbing the Himalayan mountains. So they're making their way up. And as they were climbing the Himalayan mountains, the weather turned south. The temperatures just dropped significantly, and it was cold, frigid, dangerous temperatures now. And so they had to make a choice, these two climbers. They could either keep going up and probably die, or they could turn around and head down the mountain. Now, one of these two climbers, they're both men. One of the two was a Christian and one was not. They decided, yeah, we need to do that. We've got to turn around and head down. So they're heading down the mountain. And as these two men are heading down the mountain, the Himalayan mountains, so they're heading down, they come across an injured climber. Somebody they didn't know, had no relationship whatsoever, but was injured significantly and lying in the snow, basically to die. So the Christian man and the other climber, they come upon this person they don't know, and they can see obviously that he's not going to make it unless they intervene. And so the Christian says to the non-Christian, hey, we got to do something. Got to help this guy. I know we don't know him, but we got to help this guy. And the non-Christian looks at him and says, I get what you're saying us, but if we do that, we're probably not going to make it. We have no relationship. We don't know this guy, and I just don't think we can help him out. The Christian pleads with him. You don't understand. If we don't do something, this guy will die. It's not an if, it's a when he's going to die. We've got to do something. And the non-Christian, I can't do that. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm going down. And he heads down the mountain by himself. So there's that Christian, and he's got the injured man in the snow, and he's thinking to himself, I can't live with this the rest of my life if I don't do something. I've gotta help. So he picks him up as best he can. He throws him over his shoulder, and they slowly begin to walk down the mountain. They're going at a snail's pace, and things are getting worse and worse. The snow flurries, the weather, everything, but they're going down. Well, eventually the Christian and the man he had thrown over his shoulder, they make it to a point where they see that first man who left earlier by himself. And that man, tragically, had frozen to death. So they see him by himself, frozen to death, but yet there they are, one man carrying an injured man, and they're alive. So they continue down the mountain, and they make it safely to the bottom to get help. You may be wondering today, well, how can that happen, right? Like how? They were up on the mountain longer and higher than the other guy. That Christian man was carrying someone else, a grown man. Like, how could that happen? I'll tell you how. Body heat. Body heat. It's as simple as that. The injured man was actually keeping the other man alive as he carried him down. Why do you tell that story? That was out of left field. Why that illustration to close the message today? I'll tell you why. Because just when you think you're losing, you're winning. Just when you think it's over, it's not over. Just when you want to give up and throw in the towel, wave the white flag, just when you think God's done, he's just getting started. I'm here to tell you today, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And here's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, if I die, good, I'll be in heaven. But if I live, good, I'll keep getting other people to heaven. That's his attitude. That's his heart. No matter where I am, what happens, doesn't matter whether I like it or not, because you know what? I'm not here for me. I'm here because God put me here for others. No matter what happened to me, if I live or if I die, I'm okay. I gotta tell somebody today that you cannot kill somebody whose affections are tied to heaven. You can't. You can't set somebody on fire who's already on fire for God. It's just the truth. And it's the kind of life that God designed you. Hear that word. He designed you to live that way. Like, that's in you as a Christ follower, but you've got to choose joy in Jesus. Close your eyes with me, please. If I die, good, I'll be in heaven. If I live, good, I'll keep telling people about Jesus. Lord, I pray for every single person underneath the sound of my voice, live in this room and listening later on our website. I pray that the truth of your word would sink in deep. Number one, I pray that they would always remember that sometimes there's an expiration date on a current opportunity that you've given us. So may they seize the moment May they use now what might not be available later. I pray, God, number two, that if there's any Christ followers, and we're not all Christ followers in the room, I get that. But if there's any Christ followers that they've been carrying their vest around but not putting it on and wearing it, I pray today that spiritually they would put it on and never take it off. That their joy and their happiness would only be tied to you and no one and nothing else. And lastly, I pray that if there's anyone here that they've been tempted to give up, they've been tempted to throw in the towel, wave the white flag. I don't know if I can make it. I pray, God, they would remember, just like we said last week, that what you start, you will finish. That what you're doing now, even though we may not see it, it's for our good and your glory. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger as we rely on you. Help my friends today. Eyes closed, heads bowed. All the believers, all the Christ followers are praying underneath your breath, knowing not loud enough where anybody can hear you and to be a distraction, but just underneath your breath and your heart and your mind, you're praying. We want to do business with God right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed, honoring this moment. We're almost done. Don't worry about that. Every single week since I've been at this church, a little over 7 months, and we'll continue this moving forward. But every single week, we give an opportunity for people to surrender their life to Jesus. For the first time, or sometimes it's like a rededication. Not that you get saved again, but that you've just slipped away, that you've made some decision, there's been some things, and you just know that there's been some separation that's taken place. So it's just a rededication. God, I'm sorry, forgive me. I recommit my life to you afresh and anew. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good, that's healthy. Every single week, we give people opportunities to do just that. So right where you are, right where you're seated, I want you to open up your heart and mind to Jesus. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit draws us unto repentance. And right now, for some of you, there may be a drawing, almost like someone reached their hand into your heart and just tugging you. Maybe you're here today and you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a really good thing. Bible teaches us in another place that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He lets us know, hey, there's some things that need to be fixed in your life. And it's not about what you can do to fix them. It's about what Jesus has already done on the cross. You just got to accept it. So maybe you're here today and you just feel, I'm not talking about guilt and condemnation. I'm talking about the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, this is where you are, but this is where I want you to be. And if that's you, no one looking but me, please. You're far from God in any kind of context you could put on it, but you just know you are far from God, but you want to make a change and you want to surrender your life to Jesus today for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time. Could you lift up your hand so I could see it? Don't miss your moment. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? God, you're so good. So good. I see that. You can put it down. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. If maybe you're listening online, just right where you're at too, God sees you. We thank you, Lord, for speaking. Here's what will happen next. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can know that you know that you know that you are saved. It's a guarantee. And the Bible tells us that no one can snatch us out of God's hand. So those that raised their hand a moment ago, and also all the Christians, Christ followers in the room, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me out loud. Not a fancy prayer, or you got to say it just the right way with the right tone and then God hear it. No. If you'll repeat this honestly and sincerely, it's not about the tone, it's about the attitude with which you say it. If you'll say it honestly and sincerely to God, he hears you and he'll save you. So those that raise their hand and the Christ followers in support, say this: Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. I believe. Come on, tell them again. I believe that you are real. That you died on the cross. That you rose from the dead. It's not some made up story. It really happened. And I believe in you. Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me of every sin. Of every mistake, make me new. I trust you. I love you. And I will do my best to follow you. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. Can somebody put their hands together? Come on, you can do better than that. So good. Never gets old. If you're able to, would you stand to your feet with me all across the room? I allude to these each week, but I've got a Start Bible in my hand. If you gave your life to the Lord for the first time or first time in a long time, these are in the back. They are free. No questions asked. In the ones back there, there's a letter from me to you, your next steps. There's a connection card in there if you'd like to let us know about the decision that you made. What a great place to start in your relationship with the Lord. I bless you. I pray you have a great rest of your week. A few of us will be down here at the front. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray with you. God bless you. You're dismissed.